This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Official photographer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Eric Lunsford, is used to traveling to far-off places and seeing strange things. But one of the strangest things happened to him on his latest adventure. I'll speak with Eric about it later in the broadcast. One of the most distressing signs of our times is the school shooting. Mass shootings in schools is a fairly recent phenomenon. What is different today that makes such tragedy possible? World Lutheran News Digest's Andy Bates and I speak with psychologist, the Reverend Dr. David Ludwig, to get some answers.
And now today's Fast Track.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. This is Всемирные Лютеранские Новости.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. The Reverend Antonio Reyes was elected president of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines at their 23rd General Convention held October the 20th through the 24th in Baguio City. A theme for the 2014's National Convention was taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered and crucified for you, the righteous, and for the unrighteous. Outgoing president James Serlano preached the opening service at the convention at St. Stephen's Lutheran Church. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of England held its 60th Annual Synodical Convention, October the 3rd and 4th, in Ruislip, England. At that time, the ELCE re-elected the Reverend George Semyak for another three-year term as vice chairman of the church body. A $10,000 grant from the LWML Minnesota North Mission was used to help pay the salaries of six teachers at the Yambio Lutheran Church in South Sudan. The primary school was started about 12 years ago. There are two pastors and two vicars on staff. There are orphans who attend the school as well. Presently, there are about 150 students in all.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
That's
bear.
What we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us, live streaming archive.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
LCMS official photographer Eric Lunsford recently returned to St. Louis from another one of his adventures abroad. This time, he visited with Lutherans and other Christians in Madagascar. Eric shared his experiences with World Lutheran News Digest. I asked Eric to describe the island nation.
Madagascar is an island off the eastern seaboard of Africa, and it's home to some of the most diverse plant life and just incredible cultures.
Madagascar's population is a mix of Malayo-Indonesian, African, Arab, and Indian. In addition, it's a former French colony, and the French influence is quite visible, blending in with other cultures.
The French have left a lasting impression on it in so many different ways. And you'll find that a lot of even something down to the cuisine you'd find down there in Madagascar as well. It's not uncommon to have a French baguette or a croissant for breakfast. But in the middle of the day, for lunch, you might have something a little more traditional, more of a, you know, like a chicken stew with rice or something, or maybe some goat meat or something that had been recently slaughtered.
This wasn't Eric's first visit to Madagascar. He says it's one of his favorite places.
It's easy to fall in love with Madagascar, specifically because there's such incredible variety in the country.
Eric at first arrived at the country's capital city, and then he rode with the Lutheran Mercy team to his destination in the southern part of the country.
I originally had traveled with our Mercy medical team for the transportation. Then I veered south to Fort Dauphin, which is in the extreme southern part of the country, and that is very, very rough, rugged terrain.
Not only is the terrain widely varied in the country, but so is its ethnic makeup, according to Eric.
Specifically, you know, in the region I visited was the southern region where you had two distinct ethnic groups, the Nosi and the Unjuri.
The LCMS donated money to help local congregations put tin roofs on their churches. Eric was there to record how this gift was used.
My specific time in Madagascar in October was to document a story about the Tin Roof Project. And this boils down to a mercy grant that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod gave to the FLM $100,000 to put tin roofs on their churches around the country.
People are the church, and the church is the people. Eric wanted to record the human aspect of the story, how it actually impacted the lives of people.
I wanted to document the human side of this story and show how something as simple as tin roofs can actually benefit congregations of people around the country.
It's important, Eric says, that American Lutherans can see how their gifts affect people far away, rather than just report it as another construction project.
We wanted to show how these churches and their tin roofs, how does it benefit the congregations? You know, it's one thing to look at the tin roofs and say, okay, we're putting a roof on this church. But the story behind it is how it benefits the people.
Eric traveled to report parts of southern Madagascar, visiting various Lutheran congregations. This is a poor area with little or no infrastructure. Eric says the churches were literally hand-built with whatever was available locally.
In a small village outside Cizambre, and I have a hard, I'm not good pronouncing it, but it's a very small village. It took a couple hours to drive through. Like I said, really, I mean, these are roads with potholes within potholes. And you see this one stone church, hand-built, the roof almost lovingly applied. I mean, you have people building and working on it. Inside, yes, absolutely, wooden logs doubling as pews. The altar cut from planks of wood. You see it as a cross. You see it put together.
What really impressed Eric was how the local community came together to build and repair the church buildings. He learned, as one pastor said, the church is the community is the church.
So to see how people come together, they build these churches, and like what one of the pastors had told me in an interview, he said, you know, it's the community is the church is the community, because now people see, hey, the church brings people together. The church serves the poor. The church reaches out. You see how this gift from the LCMS's benefit, they say, okay.
Eric saw firsthand how the church is the community is the church, is literally true.
But as we came across this one village, I see this one distant figure on top of his roof. And he's working on it, and you're working on it. And I thought, okay, this is fantastic. This is what I've been waiting for. I'm seeing this happening right now. This is actual mercy money being used by the LCMS for this man to help build this church. And then when I get inside the church, It's full of people working in there.
Eric says his best photograph reflects this reality.
The community was sitting on the grassy fields surrounding the church, watching these two men work on the roof. And that's the photograph I needed. The community is the church. The church is the community.
Eric worked as a hard news photojournalist before joining the Missouri Synod as its official photographer. Journalists are trained to separate themselves from what they're covering. They do not want to become part of the story. But Eric found that difficult in Madagascar, largely because of the friendliness of the people.
When I arrived on some scenes, I almost had to kind of play a balance. Because on one hand, I kind of wanted to say to everyone, hey, let me, you know, do your thing. I'm going to make some pictures. Thanks for letting me be a part of here. Don't mind me. But it's kind of hard to ignore me. And they wanted to express thanks, especially with gifts. And I mean, kids were eager to see me.
It was difficult.
Because I have as much to give thanks for them letting me be a part of their lives just for even a brief amount of time, as I think vice versa as well. So, you know, I'm thankful they let me spend that time. But it was difficult because on one hand, they want to greet me and they want to say thank you and they want to show me around. But I want to tell that story of life going on.
Sometimes it was impossible for Eric to separate himself from the story. One particular instance stands out in his mind.
I did have an incredible experience involving a live goat.
Among these people, a gift of a live goat to someone is a high compliment and a measure of great thanks and respect. The people were grateful to Eric for photographing them and telling their story to the world.
The congregation came to visit and see me while I was there. I was making photographs, kind of showing the church. I wanted to show what this mercy grant that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had provided to be able to put these tin roofs onto these FLM churches around the country. And as a gift, which is a very sincere gift of thanks and respect, is the gift of a live goat.
Well, Eric knew he faced a dilemma. He couldn't keep the goat, but how could he return it without insulting the congregation?
You know, when I received this goat, I was kind of in shock, in a good way. This is something that's very near and dear to this congregation, and they give this to me on behalf of my visit for the LCMS as a gift of thanks for the work that we've done in the country that we're doing with this Tin Roof Project. And you first think to yourself, at least what I did, it was, how do I get this back?
Eric graciously accepted the goat. And then after consultations with LCMS and local church officials, Eric found a solution to his problem.
We're in a small sanctuary, and they say, here, please have this goat. And I look around, and there's a gentleman holding a goat. And I said to my interpreter, who is a good friend of mine, I said, I don't know what to do. You know, what do we do? And, I gladly accept the gift. And after some consultation later with our director of church relations, as well as our associate director of communications, we determined that it would be appropriate to re-gift the goat to the local bishop, who was my guide while I was there.
So Eric returned to the United States, minus the goat, to prepare his photographs for publication in Lutherans Engage magazine in January. A photo gallery will also be posted on the LCMS website after the magazine publishes. Eric describes what people will see in that gallery.
Zebu. That's their cattle. You're going to see Zebu pulling ox carts. You're going to see vans with roosters literally tied to the roof, driving along like nothing's happening. You're going to see markets. You're going to see rickety ladders that put you on the roof to make pictures. You're going to see small villages and towns in Madagascar at sunrise.
Eric is resting up now before embarking on his next adventure. When he comes home, he'll tell us about it. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord. inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by Tihihi Wilongasi, Lutheran Faihawa.
What was unthinkable just a few short decades ago no longer shocks us. School shootings. What's changed in our society that makes such tragedies occur? World Lutheran News Digest's Andy Bates and I discussed this with the Reverend Dr. David Ludwig, a professor of psychology.
We were intended to be in relationship with one another and intended to love one another and serve one another, not to be self-centered. And so with that, you know, you can begin to see that anytime the culture gets more self-centered or isolates people or the family unit breaks down, now you start having the problems that we face in our culture today.
A few days after that, the school shooting in Marysville, Washington, a press release announced Dr. Gregory Jantz, a psychologist, author, and speaker, called for a new discussion, a national debate on how society has failed boys. In a sense, how we set boys up for failure. And I thought that was an interesting...
Yeah, it was intriguing.
Yeah, it was very intriguing. It caught my attention right away and thought, okay, well, let's get into this conversation. Let's look at what leads up to these tragedies. There's obviously a root, and we know that sin is the root of all of these tragedies. But looking at these, I was pulling up some statistics earlier. Since 1992, I think it is... 1992, there have been over 300, it was like 387 shootings, I think,
wow.
In schools.
Wow.
Now, that's grade schools through universities, but
yeah,
it was...
Yeah, but that's a lot of...
Just in the U.S.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So this is not really a normal thing that you would randomly attack people. That shows a high degree of dysfunction. I mean, in a matter of passion, if it's built up of resentment over a long period of time, you know, that's usually mm-hmm. where something like that happens. But this is right. This is something that is more a social epidemic.
It is, and it's, you know, Kip, you and I were talking about this at the beginning of the program, how back in the 90s, in the early 90s, when something like this happened, it was unique and very, very frightening. But now it's when we hear it on the news, we're not surprised by it at all. We've almost become
more
jaded. It is.
Yeah, we didn't have school shootings in the 50s and 60s, at least not that I recall. What has changed? What has happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I can comment on what I have done a lot of thinking in this area. I think one of the things you have to understand is God's plan for the development of people, especially boys. And I think he's right in saying that the society is failing boys. It's very difficult for boys to achieve manhood. In fact, I think I find such a prolonged adolescence that, you know, boys are still in their 20s being boys, not settling down and getting married. But it seems like the adolescence goes on for 15 years now or more. And so what's going on? And so as I looked at this, in the book that I wrote, I do a detailed look at the developmental process where, you know, like a boy, the first years of life, he needs to feel attached, you know, like that, where the mother is very key, that he feels loved, attached, and then he gets into temper tantrum stage when he's 5 or 6, and he needs to feel that he's significant, but yet to experience good boundaries, good healthy boundaries, where then when he gets 7, 8, 9, these boundaries translate into good internal control, where you know, he can stop himself, stop his impulses.
Self-regulate.
Self-regulate. And then you get 10, 11, 12, 13, then you're supposed to detach and form sort of an attitude. This is the beginning of the breaking away process. And then 14, 15, 16, you get enough energy to be able to face your parents and let them know that you are mature and use this anger, so to speak, or this confidence, I call it, then to form your identity and launch into a mature manhood. Well, what happens so often is in our culture, there are many now pitfalls along the way where so many fathers are absent. There's not good modeling. Most boys do not get a blessing. You know, they don't have a rite of passage that they used to have, and a sense of blessing that their fathers would tell them, look, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. I believe in you. And with absent fathers and the lack of a blessing, so many boys then get stuck in, you know, like in a pre-adolescent stage where they detach and go underground and, you know, hide their feelings. And then when they get an attitude and really get angry inside, then they're in more in a fantasy world yet. And they don't break out of that fantasy world. And they haven't gotten the blessing yet that makes them a man. And so now all the resentment mixes with the fantasy, and they probably work with tremendous amounts of video games, violent video games, and now comes a possibility that, you know, they just don't care, and now it just looks like exciting to them to shoot some people, and so you have this real weird sense of don't care, totally invulnerable, you know, it's like they're still in a fantasy world, and as a result, then they start making. Doing things that put them further and further in on on the road to a prison or some violence or something like that, just to prove their manhood, become a man.
I've often thought that the difference between the child and the adult is when the person realizes that he is mortal. I know in my own particular situation. I was in a motorcycle accident when I was 19 years old. And,
oh, my gosh. You grew up then, I bet.
I grew up. That was the point when I realized I could die. And I like to say, the child died that day. The man was born.
Yeah, exactly. There are actually two things. One is knowing that you're mortal. The second thing is beginning to be more concerned about others than yourself.
And until that... until that happens, until, as you mentioned, until a young, until the boy receives that blessing, that encouragement from parents or father figure to say, we're proud of you. Go and do what you're given to do.
We believe in you. Go in with God. Do what God intends you to do or be.
Until that happens, until those things happen, until we see that we're mortal and that we're given for a time to do these things, and until that happens, what I understand you to be saying is we kind of get stuck in the previous stage and kind of living in a distorted world or a fantasy world.
Yeah, fantasy world. If you know 11, 12-year-olds love these fantasy games.
Sure.
You know, Dungeons and Dragons and all that stuff. It used to be very popular. Now it's all the video games. That's where they get all their emotional excitement, and that these become semi-real to them. Then as they get 14, 15, they're supposed to get out of this. Okay, now social interaction should become much more interesting and maturing and becoming a man, but if they stay stuck here, all of that energy, which is really an attitude, it really starts coming, I don't care attitude, which makes them feel totally invulnerable. That's really what mixes with the fantasy and violence, and now Now you've got 17, 18-year-olds or even earlier picking up guns and just don't care. You know, they get mad. They get their parents, you know, piss them off or something like that. Excuse the language because that's what I hear all the time. And then, boom, you know, now they don't care. They just grab a gun or they plot something or something like that.
Could part of it have been the shift in education to do self-esteem and to feel good about themselves? You know, that
that all goes along with the whole cultural obsession with self and taking selfies and, promoting self. You know, it further makes it difficult for the adolescent to break out of the self-centered mode into the mature man, which, you know, we can see in Scripture. You know, like the husband, what does he do? He gives up his ego for his wife, like Christ did for the church. He would sacrifice himself. See, that's the mature man. And those are really powerful, good feelings when you're sacrificing yourself for someone else. And they never get that. And so all the energy that they have for that turns inward and now becomes, I don't care attitude.
The world's worldview, the world's way of looking at things has certainly one way, and that's what really influences our education system in terms of how young men and young women are shaped.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest can be heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 Central Time on KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us next week for another edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.